From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. It doesn't receive as much attention as its main Corvallis campus, but Oregon State University Cascades and Bend plays a critical role in both providing a robust college experience and environment for students in Central Oregon and also helping to drive economic development in that region. And while the campus is considerably smaller than what we're used to on this side of the Cascades, the university is growing and is doing so by taking advantage of land that was once literally a huge hole in the ground. Today on the show, you'll hear from the Chancellor and the Head of Capital Planning and Construction about how this relatively small university is repurposing an old mine to meet the new needs of a thriving community in the Cascades region. In many ways, OSU Cascades is much like Bend itself, a modern and new institution that is growing out of the rugged and beautiful land it occupies. Today on the show, you'll hear about the vision and plans to take the college to the next level. Sherman Bloomer, Chancellor and Dean of OSU Cascades, and Jared Pentilla, the Associate Director of Capital Planning and Construction, thanks to you both for coming on and chatting with us.
It's a pleasure to have the chance to join you. Great to be here.
Yeah. Sherman, let's start with you, you know, because I think there are a lot of people who may not be all that familiar with OSU Cascades on this side of the Cascades. Why don't you give us a brief overview of OSU Cascades?
Sure. I mean, this has been a project kind of 40 years in the making from citizens in Central Oregon wanting to bring four-year higher education to this side of the mountains in Central Oregon. It's COCC has been one of the, is the oldest community college in the state, mm-hmm. but there wasn't access to four-year higher education. And one of the things that's interestingly still true in the United States is a large proportion of students don't go more than a two-hour drive away to four-year higher education. Hmm. So that regional access is really important. So in 1999, the legislature told the then State Board of Higher Education to look at possible models for bringing a four-year higher education opportunity to Central Oregon. The State Board stood up a review panel, asked for proposals from Oregon public universities, and OSU and U of O put in proposals, and the OSU proposal was accepted. So we started out in 2001 on the COCC campus in a what's called a 2+2 program. First 2 years taught by COCC, second 2 years taught by OSU. Hmm. And that went on till about 2011. And at that point, it had been successful enough that the conversation proceeded to thinking about a branch campus of OSU that would offer an entire four-year undergraduate curriculum. So in 2012, the State Board endorsed that. In 2014, we did the planning for this site. And in 2016, we opened the first building on this site called Tykeson Hall. And the site is in the middle of Bend, but is really focused on serving all of Central Oregon. And what's interesting about the site is it's 128 acres, 10 of which was usable, the rest of which was at the deactivated pumice mine, and about a third of that mine was still just sitting there as a hole in the ground. Hmm. The other two-thirds had been filled up as a construction landfill for the county, for Deschutes County. And so we took this site because of the location, the accessibility, and the chance to do something that no private developer could do, which was to take this piece of land and turn it into an asset for the state and an asset for Central Oregon that would bring students here for their four-year degrees and now graduate degrees. It would create economic opportunity for the state, and it would let us, because we're part of a big research university, help contribute to economic development and innovation up here.
Yeah, yeah, that's very exciting. You know, tell us to sort of, you talked about how really a lot of students, you know, don't travel that far to go to a four-year school. So maybe tell us a little bit about sort of what the student body looks like at OSU Cascades. Who goes there?
So right now we're about 80% Oregon residents, about 20% non-residents, and that non-resident population grew quite a bit after the pandemic. As we have some very unique programs here, there's a degree in outdoor products, and so students started seeing that and getting interested in it. But of those Oregonians, 55% of them were from the three-county area here in Central Oregon. So that local access really matters. I hear from students all the time, you know, if OSU Cascades hadn't been close to where I am, I wouldn't have been able to go because I've got family obligations, children, whatever it is. There's a lot of different reasons.
Sure.
We've got about 20% of our students coming from the three-county Portland metro area, and then the rest scattered all over from different parts of the state. And that looks very similar. All the regional universities are really important in giving access to their communities to people nearby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because you talked about how the campus, you know, kind of enhances Central Oregon. Maybe talk a little bit about how the community of Central Oregon enhances the educational experience that those students get at OSU Cascades.
It's one of the really exciting things about doing this. You know, we chose to stand this up because we could leverage all of the infrastructure of OSU to make it, you know, a fairly affordable thing to do to build up a campus. But the exciting part is the partnership with the community has been great. So we're able to draw on experts in the community to teach part-time for us, to bring in expertise we don't have on the faculty. We have partnerships where students are going out and doing internships in the community with businesses. One of the most exciting things is we stood up 3 years ago a doctor of physical therapy program, first one at a public university in Oregon. We just got official notice of being accredited yesterday.
Wow.
And that program depends on, in the third year, the students go out and they do clinical work out in communities. And so we have lots of students in the community in Central Oregon. We actually have students doing their clinical work all over the state right now. And so that partnership has been really important. And we've tried to, from the beginning, talk about building the campus as a partnership with Central Oregon, with thinking about what the community wants, what the community needs.
Yeah, yeah. Let me reintroduce you to our audience. We're talking with Sherman Bloomer. He's the Chancellor and Dean of OSU Cascades. And in a few minutes, we'll also talk with Jared Pantilla, who is the Associate Director of Capital Planning and Construction, because there's a lot going on campus. Sherman, I did want to continue, though, in terms of, you know, what is integration with, I guess I would call it OSU's main campus in Corvallis, and what goes on at the campus where you are in Bend.
So we are, as I said, we're a branch campus of Oregon State. So what that gives us just very practically is I don't need to stand up a lot of things like an information technology department or a human resources department. We don't have to do that independently because we have really talented colleagues in Corvallis to help us with that. But at the same time, we're small. We've got about 1,400 students now. Class size is small, and that's very attractive to students. But it gives them an opportunity to experience what being part of a research university is like, but in very small class sizes. It gives us a chance to do things a little bit differently sometimes than the main campus can, because we're a little bit smaller. The faculty don't have big departments or big colleges, so faculty in different disciplines talk to each other all the time. And so we've stood up, a doctor of physical therapy is a good example, that doesn't exist in Corvallis. There's an outdoor products degree that doesn't exist in Corvallis and came out directly out of conversation with the outdoor product industry here in Central Oregon. There's a hospitality management program. So there's things that we're able to do and stand up that are very responsive to the community in a way that is just harder for a really large campus like Corvallis to do.
Sure, sure. You know, it's interesting. I've done many shows and talked to people throughout Bend and Central Oregon. And you know, one of the things I always heard was, you know, Bend has obviously been on a tremendous growth trajectory. And part of that has been that because it's such a wonderful place to live, and with what happened during COVID and people really embracing remote work, we've seen a lot of people who've perhaps left the bigger metro areas throughout the West Coast and wanted to live in a place like Bend because they could, because of remote work. And I'm wondering too, in terms of, you know, online classes have become such a huge part of college today. Do you kind of embrace that as well? Is this idea that, you know, it's both a physical class space, but that also that students can enjoy that kind of flexibility with online learning?
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the advantages of being part of OSU is that the university stood up an online program more than 20 years ago that's extremely successful, consistently ranked in the top 10 in the country. And so that lets us have an opportunity to stand up in-person teaching, but also stand up things that are in collaboration with Corvallis, where some of the faculty there deliver courses online to students here, so we can give our students a wider range of opportunities. We can give students who are maybe, they can't come during the middle of the day because they're working, they have multiple opportunities and multiple ways to access higher education. And I think it's a huge advantage.
You know, it's interesting, you were talking about that the desire of those small class sizes, but of course, you are expanding to a degree and becoming a larger campus to serve more students. Jared, talk a little bit about this large capital planning and construction, kind of master plan that OSU is looking at.
In 2016, our first buildings really opened here. 2016, 2017, we opened our first buildings on 10 acres. Mm-hmm. At that time, OSU was also looking at the adjacent properties, but really didn't have a plan for how they would acquire those or how that they would incorporate those in a bigger picture. That really started an effort to look at a master plan of the feasibility in combining these properties in a beneficial way. You have a landfill that had some previous safety issues that posed a bit of an issue for the community. And you also had a pumice mine that was an 80-foot hole in the ground. Hmm. That was a blight on the area and had a large berm around the outside such that most of the community didn't really realize that it was even there. Folks who lived just down the street didn't really realize it was there. And so working with some outside consultants and some internal planning folks, OSU really looked at the big picture and did a lot of work with the community to hear the community's feedback on approaches OSU could take in this master plan process, and then worked with some consultants to think about ways that these properties might be mutually beneficial such that we could actually remediate the landfill and work on filling in the hole in the pumice mine to build a campus. So, you know, we started off with 10 acres, then we acquired 72 acres of landfill, and then acquired the 46-acre pumice mine, and then really kind of brought that whole plan together with the community in the long-range development plan that was published in about 2017, and then codified our master plan with the city of Bend in 2018. And then really started on the first phase of remediation in 2019. That wrapped up in about 2020, and we opened up our second academic building on that expanded property in 2021. And really, it was exciting to see that property, which previously had 118 acres and had just fences around it and really blocked off from the community, to see folks from the community walking through it as we opened it up, and we put walking paths through that and the new academic building. It was exciting to see that open up.
Pardon my cliche, but we've always heard about, one man's trash is another man's treasure. It must have taken some real vision to look at, let's be honest. I mean, you're talking about landfill, an enormous hole. I mean, maybe, and I'm not sure if you were part of the initial visioning, but it must have taken a lot of, imagination, but also this idea of being able to see, far ahead into the future to say, hey, we can take that and make that something of real value.
I completely agree with you. I would say it's what inspired me to come here and do this work. And I was not part of those original plans and around the 2016 kind of timeframe, but when I saw what they were headed for, it was an exciting outcome. Those folks, I think you're on the right track, really were visionary in thinking about the ways that you could combine these blighted properties to be mutually beneficial. The idea that you could excavate out the waste harvest soil out of that waste, test it to make sure it's okay to use, and then use it to fill the bottom of the pumice mine. I mean, it's a pretty darn creative idea, and one that really hadn't come from a lot of directions. A lot of folks had looked at how you could take this 118 acres so near to downtown Bend. I bet you millions of people have gone past this point as they go up to Mount Bachelor, never really realized this was here. Think about a way to make something beneficial for the community out of it. I don't think it's the kind of project that a developer would have taken on. It's kind of a lot of forethought, a lot of looking into the future to think about how long it would take. And the exciting thing is when we look at it and do the numbers, we're doing this at a price point that's at or below the market value of the overall site. So it's actually a cost-effective way to make a developable parcel of land, but it just wouldn't have worked for a developer at their rates in the way that they would have approached it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've talked to, since I came up to this role, talked to the private developers in town, and they say they never could have done this because the time it takes to get a return is just too long. But a university in partnership with the state, and the state's brought about half the money to the work so far, and OSU has brought about half the money to it. And so that long-term vision lets you do something like this where the private sector couldn't take on something of this size.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you guys again to the audience. We're talking with Sherman Bloomer. He's the Chancellor and Dean of OSU Cascades. And we're also talking to Jared Ventilla. He is the Associate Director of Capital Planning and Construction at OSU Cascades. Talk just generally about sort of that overall vision of adding more campus facilities, buildings as you need to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, right now the university has just set a new strategic plan, and the goal for Cascades is to reach 2,200 students in the fall of 2030. And so that's based on very deliberate growth, certain majors, and thinking very carefully about what buildings we need to do that. There's really two parts to developing the land. One part is the development of the academic buildings that serve the students, and the next big piece of that is working with the legislature to fund a student health and recreation center that'll bring all of the health services and recreation opportunities for students that they don't have now. The other part is building an innovation district with the community, something that'll be a place where startup companies, innovation, nonprofits and companies can come onto campus and work with faculty and students.
I think I heard that you kind of had very recently, just sort of like, I guess you'd call it a community open house, or when people were touring what you've been doing. I imagine in some of that, you know, dialogue that you've had with the community now that they've seen some of the things that you're doing, I imagine some people said, boy, I didn't think it was possible, you know, reclaiming this old pumice mine and the landfill and stuff. What are some of the things that community members, students, parents have told you about what's going on there?
That's precisely what we heard, is people took a tour around and saw what was going on, as they didn't appreciate the scale of it, didn't really realize how big a job it was to do, but were also really impressed with what the vision had been and the plan had been, because in doing this, almost nothing is leaving the site. The material that's coming out of the landfill wasn't even really a landfill, it was a dump. It's being sorted, separated, re-landfilled in another part of the campus that we'll build parking lots and playing fields and solar arrays on. And so from a sustainability point of view, it's an incredibly creative project, because we're not taking lots of trucks back and forth through town. It's all happening right on site.
Yeah. And they just the scale of what we're doing, and that it's happening, and that we're this far down the road. For folks who had an idea, had maybe been in Bend for 30 or 40 years and said, oh yeah, I remember coming to this dump, you know, 40 years ago. This looks amazingly different. I can see how you could actually build a university on this. I never pictured that you guys would pull this off. And it looks amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Imagine you could maybe, when you're meeting with other college chancellors and whatnot, you might get bragging rights if they say, hey, we put in a new climbing wall, and you say, oh yeah, we built on a dump. That's pretty exciting. my last question for you is kind of, you've laid it out, but is there, I kind of want to pull the string just a little bit in terms of, you know, looking out the next decade or two, you know, what do you think? I mean, is there a ceiling on how many students you want there? Is it kind of, we'll see how growth patterns continue? Is there kind of this, you know, 20-year plan that's part of the long-range development plan in terms of what OSU Cascades can ultimately grow to and become?
Yeah, there is, and this is partly why we're trying to be deliberate, because, you know, the world is volatile, things change.
Sure.
But we're trying to pick a site, and we're not trying to build a duplicate of what is in Corvallis, because that is there, it's successful, mm-hmm. it's contributing to the state. You know, the site here would take 3,000 to 5,000 students ultimately.
Okay.
But we're not in a rush to get there. What we're trying to do is think about, what does the state need? What does the region need? What are students in the region looking for? And build up programs thoughtfully to that end. And also think about, you know, the realities of building buildings. The state has a lot of things in front of it it needs to address. So we're trying to be thoughtful about the order we do that in and what we really need. Jared mentioned this, is, you know, we've had the chance to think about, you know, what do we really need most critically? And we've tried to stick to that.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds great. Sherman Bloomer, the Chancellor and Dean of OSU Cascades, and Jared Pintilla, who is the Associate Director of Capital Planning and Construction at OSU Cascades. Gentlemen, really appreciate you coming on and talking with us and sharing this vision.
Thank you so much for the invitation. We'd love to talk about this adventure. Thank you, Michael.
That's the show for today. In case you missed any of this or any other episodes of Oregon on the Record, all the shows are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear from a special guest to Oregon on the Record, NPR's own Elsa Chang, host of All Things Considered. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.